And have a quorum, but Representative Howes, if you'd be willing to come forward and begin to tell us about your House File 1056, sir. I believe we're about four members short.
Four short?
Three.
Two.
Representative Howes, to your bill, sir.
Okay, Mr. Chairman, I believe you have an amendment there that if you...
We're not going to be able to do...
All right.
I'd just kind of like to hear a little bit about your bill and...
Thank you.
If that's okay, we're getting closer as the time...
Okay, Mr. Chairman, this is Representative Howes, and I will explain the bill. This is called the Prompt Payment to Subcontractors. Under current law, subcontractors on all buildings except residential have the right to be promptly paid 10 days after they give the contractor or whoever has the money their bill, but not until that entity collects the money. And that, I think there's been some confusion there. You know, if you're building a speculation home and the subcontractor turns in the bill and you haven't got a draw from the bank yet, it doesn't mean you have to pay that guy in 10 days after he does the bill. It's 10 days after they get the money. And again, current law covers everything except residential. And my concern and other people's concerns are people that do residential work, they're kind of the lowest on the food chain of subcontractors, and they really can't afford to wait a long time to get their money. So that's why we've included the residential contractors.
Thank you, Representative Howes. Ms. Stone, do you want to add to that?
Not really, Mr. Chairman. Do we have a quorum? Mr. Chairman, members of the committee, my name is Remy Stone. I represent the Minnesota Association of Residential Subcontractors and Suppliers. We've been working on this issue with the Home Builders Association, and the amendment that you have, that you will be having before you, resolves the issue about whether we can set payment terms during the length of the project. The underlying bill itself is exactly what Representative Howes said, which is that 10 days after cash flows, then we make payment out to subs. And by the way, some members realize this is all the way down the chain. So it's from prime to sub, sub to sub, sub to supplier. So everybody's on a level playing field.
Representative Zellers will move the division report, adoption of the division report.
So moved, Mr. Chairman.
Any questions to that? Seeing none, all in favor, say aye.
Aye.
Those opposed? Adopted.
Mr. Chairman, I'll move House File 1056. And then, Mr. Chairman, I'd also like to move the A09-0345 amendment to put the bill in the order the author would like.
Thank you. Representative Zellers has moved that the bill is before us, and also the amendment. Any questions to the amendment? Seeing none, all in favor say aye.
Aye.
Those opposed? Amendment adopted. I believe the Representative Zellers had a question. It will be going to the General Register.
Mr. Chairman, I'll renew my motion that House File...
I think we'd like to thank you, Representative Zellers. Anybody in the audience like to be heard for or against this bill? Seeing none, any further questions from the members? Representative Zellers.
I'll renew my motion. House File 1056 as amended be passed and referred to the General Register, Mr. Chairman.
Thank you very much.
And Mr. Chairman, I'd like to request a roll call.
All those in favor say aye.
Aye. Aye.
Those opposed? You're on your way, sir.
Thank you.
Representative Howes.
Mr. Chair, I'll move House File 1072. And, Mr. Chairman, I'd also like to move
Mr. Chairman, the amendments you have been amended and recopied and passed out because it was the last minute two changes that we had to make everybody in the valley happy.
I will wait till you have the amendment then, Mr. Chairman.
Let's first move that Representative Zellers moves that House File. Oh, there's a division report.
Oh, I'm sorry, Mr. Chairman.
Representative Zellers is moving the division report. There is no division report.
I knew that.
It's kind of like the little extension of the House floor today. The April Fools just keeps going on.
Well, Mr. Chairman, if this bill fails, you will be removed from your chairmanship.
Okay, I feel the pressure of that. Thank you, sir. Representative Zellers moves that House File 1072 be recommended to pass and sent to the Committees of Rules and Legislative Administration.
So move, Mr. Chairman, and I will move
A09-53 amendment?
That was amended, Mr. Chairman. Thank you.
So we have two amendments, and so does everybody have a copy of the of that amendment? All in favor say aye.
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 Those opposed? That amendment's adopted. Representative Zellers?
I don't have the second amendment, Mr. Chairman.
Mr. Chairman, I could explain the bill as amended now as they're passing out the second amendment. The second amendment is real easy to explain. So,
and Mr. Chairman, I'll move the amendment so they get the bill in the order the author would like it.
Okay. It's A09-0355 amendment.
So move, Mr. Chairman.
I believe that everybody's getting a copy of that now. So that's been moved by Representative Zellers to get it in the shape the author desires. All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Those opposed? Amendment adopted. Representative House, to your bill, sir. As amended.
Mr. Chairman, first I do have to thank Chairman Atkins for allowing this to be heard. We did discover, I believe it was late yesterday, JR and the Chairman and I found out that it actually did not make deadline in the Senate. I have to give you a teeny bit of history on the bill. I was a co-author. Representative Murdoch was the chief author. I'm sorry, but I have to tell the truth here. And he decided that he had a conflict of interest with the bill, asked that I be chief author. So I took it, and I thought, you know, I'll let the Senate pass this first, and I won't deal with the lobbyists or anybody until they do that. That was my second mistake, because I really believe that the Senate added a lot of amendments to it on a 5 o'clock on a Friday, and when they got the last amendment, they were tired. It was confusing, and they decided to lay it over. So it may be dead there, but my point is that I'm thanking the chairman for is that I'm going to have this go to rules. It's going to stay in rules until everybody was 100% happy, and I believe we're all 99 9/10 right now. And then once that happens, I will go over to Senator Scogin, explain what we've done, and he will have to then go to Chair Marty, and I will go with him, and we will try to take it from there to their rules committee, and then go from there. So that's what we're trying to do. I want everybody to know that. Okay, what the bill does is...
Representative Howes, thank you for that. Mr. Pender observed that there's some additional work that needs to be done on one of the amendments.
It doesn't surprise me at all, Mr. Chairman.
We're going to move to reconsider the amendment A09-0353.
So move, Mr. Chairman.
Thank you, Representative Zellers. All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Those opposed? So that amendment is before us again. Mr. Pender, please help us out.
Mr. Chair, on the A09-0353 amendment, the handwritten addition there on line 1.9 under 157.16, we just need to add the word section there, so it's under section 157.16.
Any questions to that oral amendment?
Mr. Chairman, I'll renew my motion on the A09-0353 amendment with the actually if I incorporated the amendment, I'll just the amendment as incorporated.
Thank you, Representative Zellers. Any questions to that? Seeing none, all in favor say aye.
Aye.
Those opposed? That amendment is readopted. Okay. Representative House.
What we are trying to do, I believe the Department of Tourism did a study on vacation home rentals and how they tend to damage the resort industry up north. That's one factor. But the other factor that I was more concerned with is, and it's especially if someone owns 5 cabins up north or 5 condos and rents one of them out for any period of time, I'm fine with that. That's okay in my mind. But if they rent 2, 3, or 4, they're now a business, and they're not paying lodging tax, sales tax, health license. They're never being inspected. But with the one amendment that we added here, where it says by a person who rents more than one such unit, that means that the cabin owners are fine with it, because now they can rent their cabin out for the summer if for some reason they can't get up there, and this does not affect them. It also does not affect someone that maybe has got financial issues and they had to, they have a home up north and a home down here, and for some reason, or anywhere, and they decide to rent one of them out as a vacation rental home. And that's fine. That is what this bill would do. That's fine. They can do that. But if they've got two and rent them both out, then they're a business. They're no longer just renting one home. They're renting two. They're a landlord. They're a business. And that's what we like would like to capture. Make sure we get the lodging tax, the sales tax, and everything else, and the health license, everything else that goes with it. Now, I believe if the people representing the cabin owners are here, they will come and testify that they're okay with it. We also have someone that belongs to a group called the Vacation Home Rental Association, I believe, that at one time were vehemently opposed and now almost love it to death. And if they could just come up here and tell you that they're okay with this going to rules, because they know we're good, if they have an issue, they're going to fix it before. If they could just come up and say that for the record.
Representative Howes, we could do that. I think we're in pretty good shape. I trust.
Okay.
No, well,
the Department of Health has a couple of issues or words they want to change at some point in time, but they also agree to go to rules. So if you don't need them to come up here, then we could just pass this and be done with it and get out of here earlier.
I understand.
Unless people have questions, you know.
So please come forward, ma'am, and state your name for the record.
The Department of Health wants me on record, darn.
Okay.
Mr. Chair, representatives, my name is Colleen Paulus. I'm manager of the Food, Beverage, and Lodging Program with the Minnesota Department of Health. The department does accept the recommendations of the task force as they were proposed in the report. We do oppose the amendment that has been currently presented today, because we feel that it does undermine the recommendations of the task force and the current work of the department and the local public health agencies throughout the state. We have been in conversations with Representative Howes, and we would like to continue to work on the wording of the provisions for vacation home rentals so that we could come into an agreement with it. Right now, we do have some serious concerns about our ability to license them, and some of the language does need to be changed so that we can, one, continue the license activities that we currently have, and then move into this other area that the task force has had concerns with and would like to see that the department license these vacation home rentals.
Thank you, Ms. Paulus. Which amendment did you feel you had concern about? We had two amendments, so just to clarify.
Actually, there's two, Mr. Chair and Representative, there's two places that we still would have to come into, thank you, discussion and agreement upon, and that would be in line 1.8 and 1.9. And then in addition to that, the amendment of 1.2, where it talks about inserting by a person who rents more than one such home, cabin, condominium, or similar building. The bulk of the vacation home rentals that we see are just one cabin or one home or one condominium. And we've been receiving various complaints throughout the state in regards to the use of these properties, and people who go to their cabins or their townhomes or their timeshares, they go there for peace and quiet, for enjoyment, for recreational use, and some of these are being rented out, and they're disturbing the folks who would like a quiet place to go. So we have to achieve some type of a balance. There has been lots of discussion around the definition of a vacation home rental. We're not done with that discussion, as we're hearing the different opposition, and as the department would like to be committed to working out in the Rules Committee an agreed wording so that we could all come together in agreement on how to regulate these units.
Thank you, Mr. Paulus. Representative Howes.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I do want to point out two things. On the first delete all amendment where I crossed off will and put may, I believe the department can do that. They have the discretion, and that works. What the department really doesn't like is what I've done to protect the cabin owners by saying if you rent more than one. And what you have to bear in mind is this bill does not exist. They still don't have absolutely no authority whatsoever to go after vacation home rentals. It doesn't exist unless we do this. It might not be perfect, but this gets them into the ballpark where they can start dealing with the issue. I'm not going to move this out of rules until she's happy. But I just had to say that. This is, they have nothing without this. So that's...
Representative Zeller.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. And Representative Howes, I like the way you're going with the bill. I'm very uncomfortable with the department weighing in, which is on something that is a local law enforcement issue. No offense to the Department of Health, but if you've got rowdy neighbors next door to you, that's the county sheriff, the city police, the Lakeshore Association, whomever, that takes care of that. Not the Department of Health, not this bill. And I see Representative Howes shaking yes and or agreeing that that's where this bill is supposed to be addressing, because I would have grave concerns if we're going to turn over who decides who's loud or not too loud or loud enough or whatever it may be with cabin owners, because I think that's a local law enforcement issue and it should not have anything to do with this bill.
Thank you, Representative Zeller. We have Mr. Edmond, I believe, from the
Department of Tourism.
Tourism Task Force, Minnesota Tourism. Mr. Edmond, I don't know if you would like to come and just kind of say a couple minutes, but we're really I think what we're going to do at this point is just kind of since the author is so committed to working with folks, it's kind of like two issues I think a little bit. But please come forward, just kind of talk about it just briefly if you can, and then we're going to try and get back to the bill, sir.
Sure. Oh, thank you, Mr. Chairman and members. My name is John Edmond. I'm Director of Explore Minnesota Tourism, and I'll be relatively brief. I guess I'd just like to speak out in favor of some resolution on the vacation home issue. We were directed by this legislature to put together a task force. We spent 6 months studying this issue. It's a growing phenomenon, not just in Minnesota, but also throughout the nation. It provides an opportunity to actually grow tourism. It provides people with access to resources and breeds dollars into communities. The problem is that there is no definition of what a vacation home is. I'm willing to work with all of the groups that are involved with this to help them follow the laws as they exist, but people don't know what the laws are because they're not defined. So I guess, Mr. Chairman, to take a six-month report and condense it down to about a minute and a half, I would urge you to, if it's this legislation or it needs to be crafted further, to come up with something to define this issue. Then we at Explore Minnesota Tourism will help communicate that to the people that are involved, the homeowners, the resort industry, the city and local units of government. There is a strong need for some resolution on this issue, and even if there is no resolution, we'll try to work with existing parties to let them know, because there's a lot of confusion and desire to create a level playing field. And so that's really about all I'll say. If you need me anymore, I think you have a copy of the report, but we're willing to help you craft the solution as in any way that we can.
Thank you very much, Mr. Edmond. I believe that we're very interested in hearing about it, and I think we'll probably try and set up another opportunity to visit and have you do a presentation on this report, and we can talk about it further. Representative Howes, I'm happy to hear that you're willing to work on your bill and listen to Ms. Paulus and others about their concerns. And is there anybody else that really feels a strong desire to be heard for or against this bill? Because I think we're... Yes, sir.
Thank you, Mr. Chair and members. My name is Bill Griffith. I represent the Minnesota Vacation Rental Association. And this is a fairly new association, and that's why we were not able to participate in the discussion that went previous. 2 points that I will raise. First of all, I want to agree with the sentiment that this is regulated and addressed in many ways at the local level. If you have a septic system, it's addressed at the local level. If you have a nuisance situation, it's addressed at the local level. If you have a rental license, like many of our members do, it's addressed at the local level. The other point that I want to make is that, and I appreciate where this is going and where the author is taking this, the biggest concern we have is if you start regulating a vacation rental as a business property, you exclude it from zoning districts. Because once you classify it as a business use, then you give the zoning officials the ability to say you can't be in a residential district. Well, the department testified, or Explore Minnesota testified, that the vast majority of these properties are in residential zones. They're cabins, they're homes, there's properties in the Twin Cities in residential districts. So once you start regulating them as commercial businesses, they're no longer allowed under zoning, which essentially fences out or excludes 90% of our members. So we appreciate where this is going. We appreciate the opportunity to make those couple of points to you this evening, and we'll certainly work with the author and the other stakeholders. Thank you.
Thank you very much, sir. Anybody else like to be heard for or against this bill? Representative House, final word before we renew your commitment to working on the bill. And
you have my commitment, and the majority leader did not say he loves it, but he says I will accept it to my committee and watch it like a hound dog to make sure I get it right.
Representative Zellers moves that House File 1072 as amended be recommended to pass to the Committee on Rules and Legislative Administration. All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Those opposed? Your bill is passed. It's on
Thank
your way,
you,
sir.
Mr. Chairman.
Thank you very much. Representative Junkie. As you're coming down, I believe Representative Slocum's had an opportunity to look at the minutes and to study them thoroughly. Are you willing to move them? So moved. Any questions to the minutes? Seeing none, all in favor say aye.
Aye.
Those opposed? Minutes have been adopted.
Mr. Chairman, is there a committee report for House File 1813?
I'm not sure how we're going to play this one out.
Okay.
Sometimes there is, sometimes there isn't. There is a committee.
Mr. Chairman, I'd move for Chairman Junkie the committee report for HF 1813.
Representative Davids has moved the committee report. All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Those opposed?
Mr. Chairman,
Representative Davids.
I move HF 1813. Be recommended pass and sent to
General Register.
Thank you, Representative Davids. Representative Junkie, to your bill.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. House File 1813 concerns basically grain elevators, and I'm a grain elevator guy here to explain what they've put together. And as far as I know, everyone to the department, from the department on down, everyone's happy with this. But
I'm not sure what we've got going on here.
Not me.
Go ahead, sir. Please state your name for the record.
Mr. Chairman, my name is Bob Zelenka. I'm the Executive Director of the Minnesota Grain and Feed Association. We represent grain elevators and feed mills in the state of Minnesota. Our industry employs approximately 11,000 people in permanent jobs, and we're in over 600 communities around the state of Minnesota. This bill relates to essentially a bill that was passed in 2007, where the department bill meant to put in place national standards for passenger elevators and escalators. What happened was is that Manlis, which is essentially a one-person authorized personnel only Manlis, got into this as well. That Manlis and grain elevators and feed mills are already regulated by Minnesota OSHA. So now we have two divisions of the Department of Labor and Industry regulating Manlis in a grain elevator. So what we're looking for is an exemption from that because we are already regulated by Minnesota OSHA. We did have some opposition from the Department of Labor and Industry. We worked out a compromise on the Senate side, agreed to exempt the grain elevators and feed mills, but in the interim there would be a study to look at the our concerns and other concerns and come back to the legislature next January with a recommendation. So that was essentially a compromise, if you will. So what we're looking for is some relief from the costly, unnecessary, and unrealistic requirements that are contained in that 2007 legislation.
Thank you very much, sir.
Mr. Chairman?
Representative David.
A quick question for Mr. Pender. I noticed on line 1.15 they talk about man lift. Should that be person lift?
Mr. Pender.
Mr. Chair, Representative Davids, I don't think so. No. Sorry.
Thank you. Yeah, I heard there were some members of your committee, Mr. Chair, that wondered what a man lift was. I actually have pictures in case. I wasn't going to smart off with it like Davids was trying to do, but I actually brought pictures, too.
Thank you for that. You can pass that around if any member desires to see that. Representative Davids, I'm sorry, Representative Junkie, anybody, you're good? Anybody like to be heard for or against this bill?
Mr. Chairman?
Representative Zeller.
No, not, I'm sorry, no, I'm not going to in favor or against. I have an amendment I want to present to the committee whenever you're
prepared. Oh, to the bill?
Yes, Mr. Chairman.
Sorry, my apologies. Representative Zeller.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. This is an amendment I spoke with Representative Hamilton about, and it deals with small rural churches. And for whatever reason, and I've got an email from a constituent of Representative Hamilton's coming around here in just a minute, requiring them to have this permit. And then once they have the permit, then they have to have a $500 to $1,000 a year inspection. And for some small rural churches that you're talking 50, 100, maybe 200 members, you know, that might be 6 or 8 months worth of collection. This attempts to exempt that nonprofit.
Thank you, Representative Zeller. Representative Junkie, do you have...
Well, and Mr. Chair, it's up to the committee. I'm not against this. If you want me to carry the omnibus elevator bill this year, I have no problem with it. So, I really don't have a problem with it. Representative Hamilton asked me about it. I said, you know, the committee, you're the experts on this, not me. So whatever your will is, I'm happy to carry forward.
Representative Cowell.
Mr. Chair,
Zeller. That was the one at the bottom of the list.
Wouldn't this add a cost to this bill? I mean, if we're going to exempt them from paying the fee, the state won't collect it, and wouldn't that bring your bill to a finance committee? That's my question.
Representative Zeller.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. And in speaking with Representative Hamilton, and I believe he spoke with Commissioner Sigham on this, that you'll see the chicken scratching on the bottom of the first page there. That's where it is in law. And they said that they didn't, the Commissioner said he did not want to be doing this, but that we put it into law. So Hamilton was kind enough to point out that I didn't vote for that, but that somebody had been putting it into law. And so it would actually... because it is such a small group, and it's such a small group of folks, that it, the whatever cost is, it's negligible. It's a $100 permit. It's the $1,000, $500 to $1,000 or more inspection. The $100 permit's not what's killing some of these churches or some of these small organizations. It's the inspection that costs them the money.
Representative Junkie,
I am not against this amendment. And Mr. Chair, I have some of those, you know, you have 2 and 3 point churches out there, which means there's one pastor per church. They're very small congregations, and he covers or she covers 2 or 3 churches, and that's what he's talking about. I don't think the cost is there because, again, the inspections, it's not like you're inspecting here our elevators. I mean, this is a one-floor elevator probably that's, I mean, it really is negligible, I believe, its cost. Thank you.
Representative Zellers moves the A2 amendment. All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Those opposed? Amendment is adopted.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Thank you, Chairman Junkie.
Representative Davids renews his motion that House File 1813 as amended be recommended to pass and sent to the General Register. All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Those opposed? Your
thank
bill
you,
is passed.
Mr. Chair and members.
Representative Nelson. The chair will move that House File 1677 78 be recommended to pass and sent to the General Register. Representative Nelson, to your bill.
Thank you, Mr. Chair and members. This is the Work Comp Advisory Council's annual bill.
Ooh.
And it's a bill that comes out of the Work Comp Advisory Council, and it's an agreement from both sides. And if you wanted to walk through the bill, or I can answer questions to it, there was one section here that we were talking about giving the commissioner pre-trip to Hawaii. It is a prohibition about doing hospital exams in hotel rooms, and we were going to put an amendment on it that the only way they could do that if they were in Hawaii in January and the commissioner of the Department of Labor and Industry was able to go there and do the exam with them. But we didn't decide to put that one on. But if you have questions on the bill, I can answer them, and I have Patricia Todd here from the department, and we can go forward from there.
Thank you, Representative Nelson and Ms. Todd. Any questions?
Mr. Chairman, just one
Representative
question.
Representative Zellers, do you have another amendment?
No, I don't, Mr. Chairman. Thank you for asking, though. Maybe we should make you the chair more often. I might get more amendments passed. Just one question for the testifier. Section 13 strikes data practices protections, I believe.
That is, and what the Section 13 deals with is allowing the department, workers' comp, the Department of Labor and Industry, to talk with DEED and other departments and share information back and forth. And part of that comes out of the hearing from the legislative auditor about those departments working better together about so they can double-check who's got workers' compensation insurance and who doesn't. And that's what that's about. It's about departments in the state being able to share information back and forth.
Representative Zeller.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Thank you, Chair Nelson.
Representative Nelson, are you aware of anybody in the audience or anything? Anybody in the audience like to be heard for or against this bill? Any further questions from members? Representative Anderson.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. In 2010, Representative Johnson, couldn't we achieve that same goal, Nelson. Johnson, Nelson, Anderson, you know. on that, couldn't we achieve that same thing but still have some protection of the data by just scratching off the last part of it on line 11.26, insert a period after Chapter 13, and then just delete the lines and shall be used only for insurance verification by the commissioner? Then we still have the data. I would assume we would still have the data protection in place, but still allow those folks to share the data? Or am I missing? Maybe I'm missing something. I apologize.
Representative Nelson, would you like Ms. Newman to help, or your...
I'll let Commissioner Todd, answer that there. Yeah. And maybe Ms. Newman can answer.
Ms. Todd.
Mr. Chair, Representative, what it does is it broadens it out just even behind... it allows us to share the information even within DLI. This is one of the things that came forth from the legislative audit on independent contractors and the ability to identify independent contractors, as well as the fact that there is different definitions in the different agencies, and the fact that one of the challenges was the ability for each of the agencies to share information, and if they were sharing information, in specific, what were they utilizing the information for? And so this is to be able to meet the requirements that were set forth in that specific study. And so we did try to limit it as much as we possibly can. But based on the analysis from the legal services in our department, they believe that that's what needs to happen in order to be able to meet the requirement for that audit.
Ms. Todd, please say your name for the record.
Ms. Todd. I'm Patricia Todd, the Assistant Commissioner for Workers' Compensation.
Thank you very much. Representative Anderson, any...
It's Nelson.
Any further questions from members? Seeing none, with that, the Chair renews his motion that House File 1678 be recommended to pass and sent to the General Register. All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Those opposed? Bill is passed.
Thank you.
Members, we're going to be meeting on Tuesday. Where's Molly? Okay, just while we're supposed to recognize Representative Mallory has made the meeting. And with that, we're adjourned.